But the egg goes into his gullet, and all of the gnomes that are around them say things like poison, poison. And I was like, I like the fact that this villain is defeated by a food allergy.
And this is around the time where he shows her his shoes.
Yeah, he's like, you came back. Why did you come back to Oz? Was it for these? And that's when he shows the ruby slippers.
He says, I could wish you back home right now.
Right. That was after, like, he informs her about TikTok and she's about to go in to help.
She starts to walk down the hand hallway that you pointed out before.
Right. And the Gnome King specifically says, Dorothy, I can use the ruby slippers to send you home and you won't ever remember Oz, which kind of goes back into that whole, like, you know, childlike thing. And, you know, is this like her like trying to hold on to her imagination?
Yeah. But he also says you don't have to go.
He also says there's no place like home.
Is so much to take in. But there was absolutely no doubt in my mind the entire time that she was going to march her little furry butt down that hallway. You know, like, you were never going to be, there's nothing in her character that would say that she wouldn't go. And so when she's just like, and like turns around and marches down the hall, I'm like, yeah, because here's the thing. He can make some very good points, but you're never going to beat Dorothy on people, air quotes, who need help getting help. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
She's just walking down that hallway with her middle fingers up in the air.
She's like, "F the police."
I would absolutely love this movie remade with Dorothy just giving sass to everybody.
Gnome came a cab. F you, and like just walks down the hallway to her friends who are like.
She's so polite in this. I think that would be like the best change.
I would take a rude Dorothy. Mm-hmm. I would take a rude Dorothy.
Yeah.
As long as you're fighting for your friends, it's hard to get on my bad side.
Mm-hmm.
But she's super polite. So, like, the part of me that wants to be a good girl is like, ah, Dorothy! She's just like, I acknowledge your statement, Rock King, but I must go. And she just walks down the hallway. Then she comes up to TikTok and she's just like, a thing we skipped over was that he had her check his brain function before he went down, mm-hmm. but she didn't check anything else. And she's like, oh, no, I didn't wind his body function.
Right.
And so the king's like, go wind her up. Yeah. Wind him up. And that's how she walks up to him and she's like, TikTok, you're not wound down at all. And he's like, I know. I just used it as an excuse to get you in here. Wah, wah. I guessed twice wrong already, but now you can watch me guess and that might help you when you guess. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok. My boy.
Yeah. I mean, for the smartest thing that he did, he didn't like communicate what he had already touched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
you had mentioned that earlier.
We talked about that. Like, it would have been okay. So I get that the other two were kind of dumb and they wouldn't have mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
But like the fact that he was like, I'm going to let you look at my last guess. But he didn't mention his first two guesses. Seems like an oversight.
Right. Also, Dorothy made the comment that I really liked, which was half the trouble you get into comes from winding yourself down. And I'm like, girl, same.
I wrote in my today notes, which I have overlooked this entire effing time, mm-hmm. is that TikTok is being middle-aged. Like, your brain function doesn't work, or your mouth doesn't work, or your body function doesn't work, or it's a combination of one or two, or all three.
It happens as soon as you get into your mid-30s.
Yeah! Mid to late 30s? Like, I was like, hey, y'all, my brain ain't working today, but my mouth sound good, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I can do the job. And then it was like, hey, y'all, my brain is good, but my mouth is stupid, but I can still do the job. And then it's like, my mouth is good, and my brain is stupid, but, like, mm-hmm. I can't not do the job.
Right. And all throughout the moments where we're seeing Dorothy's friends go through this tunnel so they could get turned into ornaments, we also see Princess Mumby going through this tunnel as she's whipping the wheelers, and they're like, you know, she's like the white witch from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That is a good analogy, because she yells nothing but faster, faster.
She's like, whatchoo, whatchoo.
Yeah, and they're just like heads down, like 90s prediction, single wheel lining it. They're mm-hmm. just like, they're her chariot, by the way. Like, they're her, she's in a chariot. They're her horses. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
TikTok gets all emotional, feeling like he's not sure if he did the job well enough as he's about to make his final wish. And so he starts leaking. A little green liquid comes out of his eye.
Because he might not ever see her again.
And Dorothy says, don't cry, which is what she says to the Tin Woodsman at the end.
Because you're going to get all rusty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, like, this might be the apex for me. I love a perfect out from a villain. I love it when a villain's like, you could walk away from this right now. And our protagonist is like, you and the horse you rode in on, buddy. And then the excitement mounts with with Mombi coming in. And now they're in this room full of fancy stuff. And although it's not high drama, there is tension there because, you know, like a climax is coming. We're pretty like big cliffhanging kind of like craziness, but like we're right. Getting there.
But you've also spent time with these characters. Like the Gump is probably the one character that we've seen the least of, mm-hmm. but he still has a lot of personality.
He does. You feel bad for him. He's already died once. Yeah. Jesus.
Right. And it's one of those things where, you know, when you see TikTok go ahead and put his hand onto an ornament.
After weeping his little green tears.
Right.
He's almost so lifeless, but then like he's had like what, one, two hugs already?
Right. But it's so hard not to feel for Dorothy and want to pull for her so much in this moment, mm-hmm. at least for me, when she is just all alone in this empty room and has this big decision to make.
And then it comes back to Mombi, who we have no sympathy for because she's an asshole. And this is where my notes, because here's the thing. As much as I want to live in the tension of a sad moment, I can gaze upon Mombi yelling at her little stooges and write notes like, her nude lip is doing her no favors.
Oh, and she like...
It broke the tension for me in the moment.
And she comes to this dead end and there's a rock face that shows up and she's like, take me to the Gnome King. And so she shows up there and she enters into his chamber. And at this point, he looks very much like a human in makeup.
He is a human in makeup. Mm-hmm. So, and the ironic thing is that because he is no longer animated, he's less, oh no, I'm going to use the word twice. Oh, maybe I'll use a different word. Because he's no longer animated, his face is no longer severely articulated, because when he becomes a human person in makeup, he becomes less expressive, but we identify with him more because he's a human. And you, like, instantly, like, Uncanny Valley was never touched in this, but you recognize him as a human in makeup now, or at least I do, because I'm a nerd. And I was like, oh, he's really real now.
Well, there's something so different between a claymated human face versus an actual human face.
And this is after TikTok has touched the cup and disappeared. And now Dorothy's looking around for him, trying to figure out what he turned into.
Right. But Mombi comes in and he's just like, kneel.
And she kneels on her knees before him.
And then he says, lower.
And then she goes full prostrate. Her legs are on the floor. Her arms are by her head, full on her face is to the side on the floor. She cannot get lower.
He says, lower.
And she looks like, bitch, what are you talking?
Oh, and then he laughs.
She's like, oh, I'm submissive right now.
I absolutely love that moment. That's a power move. From like one of my favorite villains.
Yes, it's glorious. I really do like it too because, oh man, just it's that, what was it, Game of Thrones that like had that, I never watched all of Game of Thrones, guys. I'm a garbage person, but like when the person's like, what is power? And he's like, power is like ability to control. And then she like orders the guy to like kill the dude and then like orders them to turn around and step away and then like orders them back. And it's like a whole power move where she can make these people in her control do the whole thing. Oh, my God. When she orders around. What? Sorry, not she. when the Gnome King orders Mombi around because she's been touted as this big baddie this whole time. But again, he's like this godlike creature. And he's like, and she's like, and he's like, no. And she's like. And he's like, ah. And she's like, can't anymore.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, Jen.
And so she's like, Dorothy's on her way over. And he's like, no, Dorothy's already here. And she's about to go ahead and get turned into an ornament. I have this on lockdown. You let her escape. And Mombi's like, why didn't you just do something about it now? And he's like, oh, because it's fun this way. And she's like, well, what if they find out about Ozma? And he's like, did you let Ozma escape as well? And
she's like, no, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't let Ozma escape.
Yeah.
That's when we learn Ozma's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
she's the blue lady and the blonde girl.
So there's this, as soon as he says, oh, it's more fun this way. That was my, that's when I made my second note of, kids, this is why you don't play with your food.
Glorious.
Because it happened to the Wheelers and now it's happening to him.
So they snap back to the ornament room. She does the most adorable kiddish thing that she could possibly do. She closes her eyes. She starts to spin. She's like, I'm going to find the next thing.
This is on her last attempt. She's already like made a couple of attempts.
She touched an urn, which I thought made a lot of sense because like that used to be a person. Why wouldn't you touch that thing?
Right.
I don't remember the second thing she touched.
Right.
It doesn't matter because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
She turns and spins with her hands out. She walks forward and she touches a bird figurine. Mm-hmm. She clasps it to herself, but it's not until you say the word Oz that you're decision in the ornament room counts for anything. So she's staring at this bird and she's like, I'm gonna fucking turn into a lamp if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So she's holding a bird paperweight type thing and she's like, this is all right, I guess. But she looks to her side and sees a giant sparkly green emerald type gem that's probably a paperweight. And she's like, you know what? The spinning thing made a lot of sense a second ago, but that giant green sparkly thing, that's where I'm going to put my money, right? So she sets the bird down, picks up the thing, holds it up. We have a brief pause, and then she says,
Oz! Yeah, and who shows up but the Scarecrow?
He pops up on the desk where she picked it up from, and he's like, oh, Dorothy! I hate him the worst. The worst. The worst.
He looks like something you'd see at, like, some fair in the fall.
Yeah, like if his mouth is moves up and down, but there's no articulation there. It's not even, it's not near as good as the beautifully done Gump, right?
Right.
But it still sucks worse than Jack the Pumpkin because his mouth is like not like wah, wah, wah. And he gets a little more articulate later on, but in these scenes where we first meet him, where I have no endearment to him, like his mouth is like, wah, wah, wah. You know?
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's the closest to, like, I know you said that this movie doesn't go into the uncanny valley. This guy gets it pretty close.
Yes, he is. He's a fan, but the reason he doesn't fall straight into it is because he's not a human. So I'm not expecting humanness from him. He's a scarecrow, but they give me this impression that his mouth is supposed to be articulate and that an entire nation of Oz follows him. And I'm like, if your mouth doesn't move as good as a Gump, maybe. I don't think you're as fancy.
Yeah.
He's definitely smarter. He found a brain. It's a whole thing. I read a book. I didn't read a book. I watched a movie.
He gets that articulation later in a later scene, but they ran out of money.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
Oh. You spent $22 million on this and you couldn't give me a freaking mouth that worked on the character who ruled Oz?
Well, part of that was marketing. It was like $5-6 million in marketing, but they did actually bring in a different executive producer to bring down the budget by a good $5 million. So it says, after 6 months of pre-production, Paul Maslansky was hired to replace Gary Kurtz as producer due to Disney's concerns that the movie was going heavily over budget. Maslansky was able to cut the project's expenses down from $20 million to $16 million. So I guess that's $4
million. Oh.
At Maslansky's insistence, Kurtz was given an executive producer credit for his work in the film's early development stages.
So okay. The cost of one producer could have essentially given, you could have given that to two people and they would have been set for the rest of their life.
The rest of their life.
Way to go, Disney.
You waste so much money on that doesn't work. Nude Lip is doing Naruto.
To be fair, their 2020 has not been really good.
Oh, I'm sorry that Mulan was based next to like four blocks down from the fucking. Oh my God. They're killing Muslims in China. And like Mulan was filmed like four city blocks down from the concentration camps where they're killing them.
Four blocks away.
Like if you threw a rock hard enough.
But here's the thing. I mean, Disney's figures on Mulan say that it's been one of their biggest sellers.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But it's still like, it's morally, there's a little spot in hell for the executive producers who went ahead and just went forward on that so they could make money.
We filled it in China, though. Oh, yeah? Where, like, a Holocaust is happening? I've got opinions about it. And here's another thing, plotters. We know that there are bigger issues than the movie out there. And I don't have to engage it every time. It just sucks.
Right.
And I can't not acknowledge it because that would make me feel like a worse garbage human.
So that's why we talk about movies like this, because we, I mean, if we didn't, our thoughts would be, you know, completely consumed by the existential crisis of capitalism.
I would rather talk about the quirkiness of a thing that's either well-loved or well-obscure. Look, I'm not trying to get deep every time we go in these films. I just have not watched Mulan for a reason. Hold on. I got 2.5 more pages of notes and we're going to get through them. Now, in part 4, episode 18.
So the Scarecrow's back, y'all, and Dorothy gets a good idea that maybe citizens from Oz turn into green ornaments.
Oh, right. Green ornaments. So we got Scarecrow back, running around,
looking for green things, and then suddenly there's this bright green. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of jade in there. But when the Scarecrow finds something green, it is like a bright green, like a very traditional green.
Every time they transform them back, the king becomes less humanoid. And so he's just like,
right. Now before they actually get the Scarecrow back, that's when I think he mentions to Mumbi that, you know, he's just one soul away from being completely human.
He wants Dorothy's soul.
Right.
But then the Scarecrow comes back via the gem. And then he's like, two souls away? Suck! And then they look for something green and they find Gump. Okay, not the greatest, maybe, to help them out mobily this second. But that now they're three souls away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep fighting.
They keep going around. The Gnome King gets really angry, and that's when things start crumbling around them.
He gets absorbed back into the wall. Mm-hmm. So then he's back into the mountain.
He puts Mumbi in a cage as everything starts to like go shit for him.
Another godlike moment, because here's the thing: he made it omnipotent, snap into place. Like it wasn't. It's not like he had rock form around her. He just snapped his fingers or whatever his motion was, and she was in a cage. And he's like, "I'm gonna deal with you later." Outs. Absorbs into the wall, starts the whole thing starts to earthquake.
Right.
They're starting to freak out.
The moment things don't go right for him, that's when he blames Mombi for everything.
Oh,
he
says,
"You let her get away."
Yeah, but then he sets up this game of cat and mouse or whatever you'd like to call it, this tit for tat guessing game that really ends up screwing him in the end, because in the idea of being fair and good and just as the Gnome King who only wants what he wants, he really had an objective to become human.
Kids, this is why you don't play with your food.
I still like that.
Yeah.
I totally play with my food. Okay. Yeah. So then they find Jack.
There's like all of this like quaking around them, and there's this like vase, this very green vase.
It was almost about to crash, and like all of this vase smashing and like the scarecrows stumbling around and trying to save vases that aren't green is hilarious. But then they're all huddled together around Gump. And then all of a sudden he sees this vase about to fall, and he like throws himself into harm's way, grabs this vase, brings it back to Dorothy because she's the only one with guesses left. And she's like, Oz. And then Jack shows up and Belina is there. And now the Gnome King is now like fully mounted. He's only one soul in, right? And he's like, I'm gonna kill you all!
Right. They're having to like make a mad dash for it, but he's blocking off the entrances with his gnomes.
They're
and...
popping out of all of the woodwork, all the stonework on the sides. They don't come through the marble columns because I think that stone is too hard, but I think they come through igneous rock because they're like blocking doorways and stuff.
There's an entire wall that just like goes away and is replaced with the body of the Gnome King. And he's like, stop, stop, stop. And when they eventually do stop after getting Jack back, like she's like, but we still have guesses left, and he's just like, that doesn't mean
you promise.
It's like, so what? I'm bigger and I'm stronger than you, and but I have less maturity.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So he's like, I'm gonna eat you. And so he reaches down and they're like, no. And he like grabs the backside of Gump, which is the Shay Lounge, right?
Yeah.
And he starts to pull it away. Mm-hmm. And they start pulling on Gump's head, which falls away, which lends itself to your headcanon theory. And then like he like holds up the couch, and my notes are like, well, I guess I'm gonna eat a couch now. And he's like, his jaw opens all super wide, and he's like, and he just eats the couch.
Yeah.
As you do.
Right. And then he goes after Jack. And they're like scrambling to get away in this like kind of chaotic moment. But he grabs Jack by the legs, picks him up, and he's holding him like he's going to eat the couch. And that's when we start hearing clucking, and he's just like, what the fuck?
I will note Jack loses the top of his pumpkin.
Right.
He full on loses it. Mm-hmm. No lie. But go on.
And then the Gnome King stops because he starts hearing the clucking of the chicken that he didn't realize was still there.
Yeah, because he hadn't seen head or tail, and he's like, right. I'm scared the F of chickens.
Right, but we don't know why until Belina lays an egg.
She has a panic attack chicken egg. She's like, oh, plop. Did you notice that? Okay, so she's in Jack's head, and he's a hollowed-out pumpkin. So, like, the egg rolls around the inner edge of the pumpkin, like, 3 times. It is glorious until mm-hmm. this egg plops out into the king. He just holds Pumpkinhead over his
mouth. He's like, where's the clucking coming from?
He's like, all the hair all over my mouth this whole time. It doesn't make sense. I'm a reasonable god.
This is a monumental achievement for Belina. It is mentioned by Dorothy at the beginning that she needs to lay eggs or she's going to be served up.
Yeah. Yes.
And so she's like, finally.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever known any chickens, but if they take a while to lay an egg, sometimes the egg is much bigger than you'd expect. So this might be like a egg, like a egg, like a
But the egg goes into his gullet, and all of the gnomes that are around them say things like poison, poison. And I was like, I like the fact that this villain is defeated by a food allergy.
I like that the king's like, didn't you know chicken eggs are poison? And Dorothy's like, I had no idea.
It kind of mirrors when Dorothy throws water on the Wicked Witch of the West.
I like, because it's this benign outside of themselves. It's not this virtuous character that we've known is not a villain because of the act they've committed. Like, she was trying to protect her friends. She wanted to follow the rules. She was winning. Villain didn't like it. And then beyond her control, her chicken saved the day. And she was the bigger part of the prophecy.
Right. This is like in the Disney version. Here, this is probably going to make more sense. In Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Gaston dies because of something that he did. He tried to go after the beast, and he slips on some rocks in the rain.
The beast turned around, and he was vulnerable because of Belle's request. And uh-huh. when Gaston went to make the dirty blow.
Right. His center of gravity went off. But so this is more akin to that and not so much of like Superman killing Zod.
How does Superman kill Zod?
This is in like the one of the more recent films, like where Superman like snaps Zod's neck in order to save some random people.
It's like an ex machina that you get to see coming, but not quite. Like you get to hear about, oh, there's this ex machina coming. What are you talking about, ex machina? Oh, there's that ex machina.
Yeah, because they say it over and over again. Chicken, chicken, chicken. You're like, what consequence does a chicken have in the entire world? And whereas we live in a world of celiac disease and like peanut allergies and like that, like this is from a time, you know, 2 years after, 3 years after we were born, that it was like, you can be allergic to eggs. Didn't know that was a whole thing. Did not know. Would not have expected. Prophecy about a chicken sounds ridiculous, laughable. And then like straight up kills the Gnome King. And we're like, awesome.
Because he's been terrifying and pretty much a dick at this point.
He melts into a skull stone thing. The mountain starts to crumble. She sees a glimmer of red in the crack and she's like, oh, my shoes. She runs over and like points to her for saving her shoes.
Yeah.
She like pulls them out, chucks off her shoes, which I thought was a nice detail, shoves on the shoes. And she's like, I'm trying. And then she clicks her heels, tick, 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 or twice, tick, tick. And she's like, I wish me and all of the, and Jen pointed this out, I want all of the members of Oz to be safe and back in the Emerald City. All the members of Oz, which saves not only herself and her friends, not only everyone who is an object in the object room, not only the Wheelers, but it also saved Mombi.
Right.
She is a true altruist, and I would stab anyone Dorothy told me to because I know she'd have a really good reason.
Right. And so everybody gets transported, and she also asks that the Emerald City is taken care, is like, you know, put back to where it was. And so when they get back there, the Emerald City's all well, you know, the ladies that were dancing around without heads.
Because they all went to Bombi.
Well, because they got turned to stone, and so their heads were given to her by the Gnome King.
The Gnome King promised Mombi 30 heads, and those were among the heads.
Right.
So they got their heads back.
Yeah, they got their heads back. They're like dancing around. But Dorothy and her friends are outside the Emerald City. Mombi is there as well. But they're like, where's TikTok? We didn't find TikTok in time. And that's when Belina notices something on the Gump's antlers.
There's a metal on your antlers.
Right. So going back to like, I can see the reason for TikTok being turned into a metal because he's the army. I guess I can see the Gump getting turned into like this solid ornament of green that like looked like it was a little bit curly and everything. But the one thing that I do not understand why Jack got turned into a vase.
I don't know. Probably production something something.
Just the hollowness of it, maybe?
Maybe you put dead flowers in it, like straw. Like in a scarecrow?
Here's a better question. What would you have liked to see him changed into?
I would almost think like maybe a statue of some kind. We see all these little like statues. When I think ornament, I think about things that are like kind of like I would think of it being something that doesn't have any like, it's more there for decoration and less there for like necessity. Like shoes have it's function. So it's more like based in decoration, less in actual function.
There was no performance in anything in that room short of maybe the urn, and that got cost Dorothy one of her things. Here's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. If you were to be changed into a useless bric-a-brac that I, because I expressed this earlier, have a continuing existential crisis that if I had to find you in a room, if I knew your favorite song, or knew your favorite flavor, or knew your favorite clothing, or if I knew your favorite haircut, or if I knew your favorite boy brand, if I knew your favorite TV show, if I knew something about you that would set you apart from everything for me, I feel like I need to know that stuff, right? But if you just told me what object you would be in a room like this, then I don't have to deal with that anymore.
If I had any control over it, or if it was like akin to anything that was with me, I would think that it would probably be turtle related. Nice. And there would probably be gems on the shell.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've nearly
and
bought
it's
you.
And it's green.
And I would nearly, well, it's my favorite color. This is what makes it so fun. I have nearly bought you that like 8 times. I've been to various stores and be like, ooh, a turtle thing that, oh no, wait, she doesn't need to collect turtles. She can just have one.
I do have this turtle ring that when you jiggle it, the head and the arms go back and forth. It's like the greatest thing ever.
Okay, Jen, what would you be?
Oh, I think if I was like a guitar or something or a piano that you'd notice.
We had that black guitar with the inlaid abalone in it once. That was greenish. That was very nice.
Yeah.
It would just be more green.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Okay. I would be, see, here's the thing. My brain goes to being something functional. Like just now I was like, oh, like a leather satchel, like a green leather satchel. And I'm like, you own like 2 green leather satchels and they're very useful. So I'm like, okay, not useful. What would I be? I would be a metal bracelet with green like jade inlay that was too heavy to wear. So it was always on the counter.
Okay.
And so the city is returned. The people are returned.
It's a parade.
Da-da-da-da.
Even the Wheelers are there and they look all happy. They don't look scary or anything, but they don't even look like they're being like torn down by the peeps.
Yeah. And we got TikTok back. Everybody's shined up for this big ceremony. Jen turns to me and goes, hey, TikTok got the C-3PO treatment, which I thought was well good. And you know, it's true.
Yeah.
And the crowd is chanting. What are they chanting, people? Be the Queen of Oz. Be the Queen of Oz.
That's right.
Be the Queen of Oz.
And so Dorothy's like, but I can't. I have to go back home.
You're really the best people I've ever met. Right. The best friends anyone could ask for.
And then they're shimmering behind her because they're in the mirror room.
I wish I could be both places at once.
And her shoes glow up a little bit.
She says, I wish I could be in both places at the same time. I actually wrote it down if I ever read my notes.
And she, there's the shimmering that goes on behind her. And that's when we see the blonde girl.
We know her as Ozma now.
This is Ozma. And she comes out. She and Dorothy kind of like put their hands against each other on the mirror.
You have to help me out.
And she comes out of the mirror.
Take on me.
Take on me.
Take me on.
Take on me.
Oh, baby.
In a day of 3. I can't ever do it. I want to do it at karaoke, but it's never going to happen.
Right.
So Jack is like, Mom! mom. I mean, my real mom.
Yeah. She has this, like, I like her tiara because it has OZ at the front of it, which is similar to the way that Dorothy traced the outside of the key. OZ, Oz.
Oh, friggin' A. Mombi, because we needed to pull into Exposition Station for like the third time this movie.
Woo!
She's like, it's true. She is the queen of all. Actually, it wasn't Mombi. It was one of Mombi's former heads who are now like her handmaidens or whatever.
Or her wardens.
That's probably better. They're carrying her around like she's some sort of precious queen in one of those freaking Wish of the Waste baskets. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Wish of the Waste baskets. You know the carriage that you carry with... We're so close to the end, guys. Okay, anyway, she's in a cage. They carry her around. It's true. Ozma was the queen of Oz until something happened.
Yeah. Until Mombi was promised 30 heads by the Gnome King if she went ahead and got rid of Ozma. And so she was like enchanted. So basically, Mombi enchanted Ozma to stay in one of their mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not terribly important. This movie stays closer, much, much, much closer to the book than the previous movie resource material, aside from like the red of the slippers, because Disney wanted what Disney wanted in that way that we've already ranted about capitalism.
Right.
So she's now there to be Queen of Oz. Dorothy's like, y'all are the best, but I gotta go home. And then Ozma, no pause, was like, click, click, go home.
Yeah, and she's like, but I don't have any time. I gotta say goodbye to everybody. And
so she runs
like,
around the
whoosh,
room.
Whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, she hugs everybody. She hugs everybody that she can't get her hands on. And then barking.
Yeah, there's it like transitions into white, and then we see like a little bit of a creek going by. Yeah, and there's a dog barking.
Yes.
And
this is another cliche that I'm not a huge fan of for whatever reason. I guess maybe if I'm ever found in the woods, I know I'm going to be stuck there for a while, or at least very, very dead. Immediately found upon waking cliche. That makes sense. She's like,
right.
Her eyes blink open. She's been gone like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Toto finds her. She's like, Toto, Toto, Toto. He runs over to her. And then Uncle Henry's there. And he's like, oh, my legs work now. Like, whatever. And then Aunt Em comes over. And she's like, oh, Dorothy. She's got a blanket and wraps it around her. And then, like, all the guys who were searching for her show up. And they're like, oh, great. And they're all, like, standing around, like, huck, yeah. Shucks, shucks, shucks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Is that quick succession? That's pretty much how it happens, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so Aunt Em is, like, you know, kind of wiping away Dorothy's face. And she's talking about what actually happened. Lightning struck the building and everything went up ablaze, but the doctor didn't make it because he went back for his machines.
So they're standing there hugging. Everyone's happy again. Mm-hmm. A paddy wagon rolls by. It's a cage.
Yeah.
A little more fully formed, like a cat, a buggy with like bars in the back, though, led by horses. And as it goes by, why is the nurse back there?
Yeah, there's no in universe or in the movie, there's no reason given as to why she's in the back there.
My supposedness.
Your theory?
Yeah. Is that they had all those air quote damaged people in the basement who had been zapped but not cured and so were miserable. I think they found all of those people. Maybe they escaped because if it only the doctor died, or this is 1899, so maybe they let all of those damaged people die, but they don't count as people because that's history,
right?
Maybe they're holding her accountable.
Well, this is part of the reason why I'm constantly wondering if this is all in Dorothy's imagination and not actually something that's literally taking place, is because actually, let's talk about that towards the end. Like, this is like
towards your Sasha and the Plot stuff.
This is like towards the end. So we'll talk about it as we get to the end, because this nurse Wilson is being taken away, who is very much played by the same actress who plays Mombi, who is
Marsh,
Jean Marsh, and she's in the cage at the very end in Oz. And then when Dorothy goes back to the real world, she is in this kind of, in this, you know, she sees the nurse who was slightly cruel to her taken away.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, like kind of there's a bit of a time skip because the house that they were working on is finished.
Yeah. Uncle Henry's working on the roof. She's looking at him through the window. She knocks on the window. He's like, "Hey, Dorothy." And then she goes back to look in the mirror and she taps on the mirror.
She specifically does that circle Z thing and says Oz, and then it glows up again.
And then there's Ozma, whose name hurts me more and more every time I say it because it's Oz and then Ma. Like, Mom, okay.
Yeah. And she's holding Belina, and they're like, "Oh, hi, Dorothy." That's they're seeing her, and she's like, "Aunt Em," and
Ozma's like, "Shh, shh."
Yeah. And so, and
what is it, Dorothy?
Oh, it's just my reflection. And then she's like, so
she tilts the mirror.
She can hear Aunt Em coming up, and so she's worried that she's going to tilt the mirror. And Aunt Em says, "You know, it must be good to go ahead and have your own room
with the best view in the house. Got to be."
Yeah.
Honest.
So she's like, make sure that the mirror's straight. And so when she lowers the mirror again, Ozma and Belina aren't there anymore.
Go outside. It's too nice a day to spend it all inside.
Right. And so they go out and they're, you know, laughing and playing. And then the credits roll by. And
my
then...
last note. I have two last notes.
Yeah.
One is, look how much trauma hasn't affected her. And the last, very last one of this set of notes is, all is well and we're all fine now.
Right.
Except for the doctor who's very, very dead.
Yeah. And the lady who's in prison.
Yeah.
But, okay, so.
Her, she was rude to a child.
Yeah. They were neglectful. Like, they were probably shady AF.
Yeah. Not gonna lie.
And that's the end.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But we got to go through some stuff because there might be Sean facts that we need to reiterate real quick. Mm-hmm. Maybe something funny in my second set of notes that I totally glossed over this entire time.
What about the song?
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. So it's when they land on the cliffside before they go in.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to sing it a couple times for it to make sense. But when I wrote it, perfect, perfect sense. Big Melon Head Chicken Eye Joe, I was animated a long time ago. Where did I come from? Where will I go? Where is my mom now? Pumpkin time. So dumb. Where did it come from? Where did it go? Where's my from? Pumpkin Joe. All right. Look for our single coming out on Spotify.
I'm sorry. Could you say those lyrics again without like trying to sing them?
Okay. Big Melon Head, Chicken Eye Joe, I was animated a long time ago. Where did I come from? Where will I go? Where is my mom now? Pumpkin Joe. Probably Pumpkin Head Joe. I just didn't write it in there. I'll fix it. Pumpkin Head Joe.
Isn't that a racist song, though?
Pretty sure the last TikTok I saw on it was like Cotton Eye Joe comes on at a wedding and all the white people are like yay and all the black people are like motherfucker. So I don't know the whole history of how racist it is. I mean, junior high it was like the shit to dance with at a dance, but I don't know.
That was the 90s. 90s was not the wokest of times.
Nope.
They tried to be though.
Nope. Although I was listening to some old school hip hop at work the other day and I was like, it was like 10 in the morning and it was a lot of songs about humping things. And I was like, I don't think I listened to enough hip hop back in the day to be able to discern what is acceptable at 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I like the way you work it. No diggity. I want to back it up. And I'm like, back it up? What? It's 10:15 in the morning. A lot of work ahead of me, guys. Okay. So... that was that stupid song I wrote.
Right. Sean facts? Any Sean facts?
Well, there are random things if Jen wants to jump in with them, but they talk about Dorothy having removed Mombi's powers, and I don't know how she did it.
Right.
That wasn't in here.
No, that was in the movie. It was just like in the exposition train at the very end.
Yeah.
But now with Mombi's powers removed,
she doesn't have powers anymore.
Yeah. And a witch without powers is a sad thing or something.
Maybe it's just because she didn't have extra heads anymore and they took away all of her magic powders.
Mm-hmm.
Random facts, though. Wicked Witch of the West, the Gnome King and Dorothy all have the same size feet.
Mm-hmm.
Undeniable.
Well, here's the thing. In the first film, when they take the ruby slippers off, the feet kind of curl up off of the Witch of the East and they kind of curl up.
That comes from her third uncle on the left side, who was the wavy arm man from in front of the oil change place.
I would like to challenge that the shoes grow to the size of the people wearing them.
It's like a magic item in D&D. If you got magic armor and you go from a gnome to a human, chances are the magic is going to like expand.
All right, fine. I'll accept that.
All right. I mean, not unless your DM specifically puts it in there as like it's non-expandable.
Do you feel like when Ozma was like back to Kansas, it was a lot like bye?
Nobody can challenge my power.
She really did just yeet her out of existence.
I'm queen now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
The poof cage is the proof that the rock king was, the gnome king was like godlike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I like that when Ozma came out, Dorothy said, "You're beautiful."
Yes, and it was very much like a bi-curious teenage romance.
Mm-hmm.
Super down.
Yeah.
Explore your world.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened? How did Pumpkinhead get the top of his hat back?
They probably just took it off another pumpkin.
And isn't that evil?
I mean, if it's a sentient pumpkin, then yeah.
Okay, we're going to assume it's a non-sentient, somehow identical to his previous hat. And I say hat, but I mean like the...
top of the pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah, his little carved out pumpkin head.
They don't go over it, so it's hard to gauge it in universe. I would like to think because these are the good guys,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to take the top of a sentient pumpkin.
It's the powder of life that gives the pumpkin its life.
Oh, so yeah. So, okay. I mean, pumpkins in this world
are... So he just has a dead thing sitting on top of his head now.
Probably.
They just took a mold, a cast, if you will, of his head.
Maybe they cut it out and then sprinkled that on with the powder of life so that way it's living just like he's living.
Okay, final question, because I had so many. When did the metal show up on Gump? Because I did not see it. I looked for it. I did not see it until they were in the field.
I'm pretty sure that that was because of Dorothy's wish. She said, everybody who's in for Oz goes back with us, and he was like the last ornament. He was the last Oz citizen who was an ornament in there.
I understand that now. And applauders. Applauders. It's part 17 of episode 18. Dinner's happening upstairs, I'm sure. We need to discuss our shocked and applaud moments because you need to get on with your October. And I can't wait for you to listen to our follow-up bit called Shock Talk with Sean and Maddie.
Yeah.
So, ladies, what should we go shocked or applaud first?
Let's do shocked first.
Awesome. Mine is pretty like, womp, womp. So
Go for it.
My shocked moment is, I contend to you, Ozma is dead.
That's fair.
Disagreement?
Why would she be dead?
Okay, here's where we go. Down the rabbit hole. Plug your nose because she sure as shit didn't. She's a mysterious reflection that no one sees, right?
Mm-hmm.
She appears and disappears with a pumpkin randomly in her room, right? She mysteriously appears, no acknowledgement, in the operating room. Right? Nobody's like, watch out for that one chick who's going to let you free, right? The machina of her getting unstrapped from the bed means that this girl kind of has to exist. She's acknowledged, I think, maybe as with the so on the stairwell as she's exiting the asylum. So she here's my contention. She drowns in the river. She was real the whole time until she drowned in the river. And then she's trapped in Oz in the mirror. She's always represented by wavy, watery looks.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's a mirror person pulled over from the dark side, and she can't go back to the real world because she's dead. Ozma is dead.
Right.
That is my shocked moment.
All right.
There was a dead girl, and they never acknowledged it at all. She's really, really dead. Like, well dead. And no one acknowledges it.
So you mean just in the real world side of things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl that Dorothy saw in the asylum is really dead.
She's dead now. For real now.
Or she could have never existed and could have been a delusion.
Okay, so the end of my secret double notes is... hide your mental illness, y'all! Because Dorothy sees her in the mirror, and if I... okay, I've never been clinically delusional, but if I feel like if I had a delusion, it would be like, don't tell anyone about me. I don't exist to them. But I'm super real to you. So I think she's like dead, but in Dorothy's brain. Okay, that was my saddest, most yelly, shocked moment ever. The end. Please bring it up or down, Lydia.
Yeah, I mean, like, finding a shocked moment in this, like the easiest thing that I would pull is probably, like, the inconsistencies. Like, it wasn't, like, a moment that made me want to, like, it was really just, like, it was, like, the third act. Everything just kind of felt like there was all of this tension that was built up at the very beginning. And then by the end, it was just sort of like, oh, we got all these loose ends that we got to tie up. And I'm not entirely happy with how things got tied up. Just like as far as the production goes, it wasn't like dead chick in your mind shocked moment. I really like that one though.
Really?
Yeah. Like for me, it was just kind of like, you know, I felt like things were kind of rushed towards the end, which as a kid was nice because of like everything was so tense. But
in my head, your shocked moment is just like, it's the end of the world as we know it. And mine's like, living dead girl.
Yeah, that's perfect. The perfect representation.
Leonard Bernstein. Hey, Jen, how you feeling?
Oh, are you asking me what my shock moment is?
Please. I mean, unless you needed...
No, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So the original 1939 Wizard of Oz is a really good representation, or it's been hoisted up by the LGBTQIA+
I'm a friend of Dorothy, what?
Community. And you may be wondering how this movie reflects on that same group. Like, what could the group pick up from this?
Is this your shocked moment or your plot
This
moment?
Is my shocked moment because they took out my representation.
Okay.
They took out the fact that Ozma was a boy. Ozma was Tipitarius. And at a very young age, in her infancy, by Mombi, gets transformed into a boy. And it is later in her young adolescence that she makes the choice. She's told that she is the Queen of Oz. It's an actual trans rights thing that Frank left in the books. And it's canon. And they took it out of this. And they made it a mirror girl. They could have just as easily had a little boy that Dorothy meets along the journey. And they're looking for the Queen of Oz. And then all of a sudden, at the end, Mombi removes, she has no more power anymore. So the spell gets lifted off of the boy, off of Tip. And here we have the Queen of Oz. So it's the homophobia of Disney representing in its representation going back. You know, it's not just, when are we going to see a gay relationship in a Disney movie? This has been going on for years.
Well, like it's like they touted a gay relationship in Star Wars, and then they had one pan across a reuniting scene that we all focused on Chewie in, and it just happened to be a same-sex couple kissing. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was their big handshake for every one of us who doesn't necessarily identify in the cis normal world,
right?
For whatever reason,
like they could have very easily made Captain Marvel the first gay superhero because of the history between Carol Danvers and
the other pilot.
Yeah, like I can't remember her last name. Her first name is Maria.
Yeah, but the one with the little girl.
Yeah, they could have very easily turned that into like an actual canon lesbian relationship. Aww. With their Rowan Ellis, a YouTuber. She like went on this like long tirade about why they were a gay couple, and it was like beautiful and wonderful, and I love that video so much. But it was just like, yeah, they could have actually like done something legitimate with these two characters because of their history inside the movie.
Well, like, I hate to bring it right back to Star Wars because uh-huh. I'm not knowledgeable enough to like really, but here's the thing, I'm about the interpersonal relationships in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So what, Poe and that one guy?
Poe and Finn
had such fantastic chemistry,
right?
That if they had even had like a hug that was like 2 seconds longer, mm-hmm. if they had held hands, I don't need like necessarily like a sexually romantic relationship, but when I feel that kind of intensity, like when you shoehorn in him, that chick, and that chick who like risked the entire mission because this is who we are, and like yeah. ruined the whole fucking thing,
right?
And she's like, this is just who we are. And I'm like, no, you ruined some shit that you didn't need to,
right?
And now you're shoehorning a kiss on me, and I have no reason to think of you as intimate at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm handed that stuff and told to believe it, but I'm not given Tip, who, you know, in terms of like complexity of character, in terms of like relatability of like the audience who is seeking an explanation, not maybe an explanation, but a community of different diverse people coming together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what really it feels like. She finds these misfits along the way, and we all do that to some extent or another, but like we don't get to have Tip.
Right.
Jen, you have every right to be like shocked at that.
Mm-hmm.
Every right. Pissed about it now. Pissed and applaud.
Shocked and appalled. Sorry. It was eventually going to come up.
No, we've totally been mentioned on other podcasts as shocked and appalled. And I'm like, no, no, it's wordplay.
There is an actual shocked and appalled show,
and
too.
Good for you guys. We like you guys. Probably. Follow us. We'll follow you. Let's review. Children of Oz. Mm-hmm. What's got you applauding? What's got you? Because mine's real like, meh, meh.
Yeah.
But you went first.
All right, I'll go first again. Mine's simple. Mine is production quality. Mm-hmm. I know it's a vague blanket statement, but let me get very specific. The animation with the rocks on point stands the test of time. You could throw that in any movie right now. I would say perfection.
Right.
It might be a little higher, higher rendering, but in terms of like quality of like character development, the animation / claymation transitioning from animation mm-hmm. to claymation to physical magic. Nope. It felt like magic.
Yeah.
Physical makeup.
Practical effects.
Practical yeah. effects. Thank you. We've used the term before. It's glorious. The costuming, perfection. Mm-hmm. From the way that Jean Marsh's outfit as the nurse reflect the same kind of small waisted, large collared looks that Mombi have. Amazing. Where they kept characters ambiguous, like where I kept being like, is the Gnome King the doctor? And you guys are like, yeah, duh, it is. And I'm like, of course, duh, it is. But like, there was just enough ambiguity for me to be like, oh, right? Again and again, the characters who were very static in that, like, Aunt Em was every woman who's been beaten down by being the strongest person in a situation, and there's nothing to be gained by that for her. She knows that her niece is broken, her husband's broken, the farm is for shit. Where were those three guys who worked on it 6 months ago who were so freaking helpful then, who happened to be the liar, the lion, the tin man, and the
scarecrow.
Scarecrow, thank you. Oh my God. We've been recording for 8 years. I didn't feel let down at any visually creative step along the way. And I feel like some of the plot got lost. I certainly echo the depth that could have been there had they followed along even more closely to some of the core material that they were drawing from. But like visually, I could watch this again and again. It's as quality as Ghibli, but it's American.
Right.
You know? And it's old. It's like way older than Howl's. But like in terms of like depth, as far as you can go, like they left no stone unturned. That ballroom, immaculate. Like the farmhouse, as depressing as it should have been. And then we come to the end and there's this decadent ball that's delightful. But she needs to go home. And when she returns to this newly rendered home, you have this same warmth that you want her to have when it was so cold before and unfinished. And now, like, you see this healing, and like, they just paid attention to those tones throughout the entire film. And I can't disagree with that.
Right.
Okay. So, high fives all around. That's my applaud moment.
My applaud moment was about, okay, so there's this whole idea that I have as the movie is progressing that everything that's going on is in Dorothy's imagination.
Ooh.
And every time she talks about Oz, it's a child talking about an imaginative world constantly. And you as the parent or caregiver don't necessarily want to hear about it for the umpteenth time because children kind of like laser focus on one thing. But in the end, like everything that she's going through medical facility is like her own like grappling with becoming an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like has this one last romp through Oz to go ahead and kind of like she's still like having to grow up. She's still having to, you know, mature. And even though she's very polite, it's not the last. I mean, just because you're a polite kid doesn't mean that you have matured. So like at the very end with her like, oh, yeah, I have to go back home. I have to go back to I have to go back to a world where I am growing up. And you see this in a lot of like children's stuff. You see it with like Peter Pan, you know, like kids can't stay in Neverland forever, that sort of mm-hmm. thing. But she is going back to go and grow up, and but she's never going to leave Oz behind. She's always going to carry it with her, but she's just not going to, like, she's going to be careful about who she talks about everything with, because, like, her actual family loves her dearly, but they can't necessarily relate to these stories that she always has. So, but that's very much like a mirror, a reflection of my own life. So, but then I think about, like, going back to, like, what if that girl did die? And, like, maybe that was part, this was, like, how Dorothy kind of, like, compartmentalized this girl who had saved her from a bad facility. And this is how she kind of, like, is remembering this, like, very brief friendship with someone.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
So
dealing with the trauma of losing someone you've met for a short time.
Right. And, like, it's someone who, you know, did end up dying, like you said in yours. With
Shoot.
Ozma is a dead girl.
I knew her for half a day. She brought me a pumpkin and released me from my restraints. And then she died in the river.
And this is how I compartmentalize that, because
she's a Queen of Oz now,
bitches. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to reiterate, though, what you said about her being super polite, because there are two instances where it's just extremely prevalent. When TikTok runs down and she's drug away by, I have to point it out because it's so dear, when she's drugged away by Mombi and he's like, I'm sorry, Dorothy. And she's like, it's okay, TikTok. You couldn't help it.
Right.
And then when now they're back, they're in the rocks, right? When did she forgive?
It was when he lost his head. I thought that's like, oh, no, no, it was when they were falling and Scarecrow or Jack thought that it was his fault. And so they're all falling and the Gump end up kind of like got tore apart.
Yeah.
Because Jack couldn't hold it together.
It can't be helped now.
Right.
She just feels it can't be helped now.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can only deal with what we've got right now.
Right.
There's no use blaming you.
Mm-hmm.
She is so mature. I want to be like Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
To love on people who are in distress because of things they can no longer control.
Right. Jen, what was your applaud moment?
I like that this film treats itself as an homage as much as a sequel, maybe even more than a sequel to the MGM movie. So even in the friends that she meets, TikTok is very these are characters that they pulled from the books. So TikTok has a mirror to the Tin Woodsman. The Gump, in some ways, has a mirror to the Cowardly Lion in that they're both kind of woodland creatures. And Jack is very reminiscent of the Scarecrow. The Gnome King is sort of an anti-wizard of Oz. And Mombi is very much like the Wicked Witch of the West. And on top of that, on top of the reflections of the characters in this to the first film, there's that continuation of seeing a representation in Oz of the characters that are part of her real life and how she grabs from these images from real life. A lot of people have the opinion that there is a directorial choice that Dorothy is just dreaming and she wakes up from this dream back into real life. So everything that she pulls from this, from real life, is something that she inserts into her dreams, living out inside of this wonderful imagination that she has. But it could just be quite as explanatory. We have more like, we do this more like with the Marvel films, but we or any fantasy now has some kind of mirror world, like or the idea of parallel universes or...
That's why we get so many Spider-Men?
The multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to think that Oz is just a multiverse version of this world and that there are reflections in Oz of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate how much tribute they paid to the original film, considering it's 60 plus years after the first one. 60? No, like 50? It's several.
Was it 1939 is when the...
Yeah, 1985 minus 1939.
That's going to be 46 years.
46 years. Being able to creatively grab your inspiration from a movie 46 years old is pretty significant. That would be like us trying to remake a movie in the late 60s, early 70s.
We would super kill reproducing Beatles' Help movie, which is one of my favorites of all time. Have you ever seen Help?
No.
It's amazing. It's awful. It's perfect.
But it's by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's got Ringo in it. He loses his pants at some point.
Try making a sequel to Phantom of the Paradise.
Ah, yeah.
I'd be like, Lydia! Lydia! And then you would dance and you'd just be like,
shoulders, nothing just, but shoulders.
I'm seeing arms. I only want shoulders, Lydia. Jen, go put on that 1970s lesbian's realtor suit. John Wick. Hey, applauders. Thanks for sticking with us through the month of October. We hope that fairly soon you'll get to listen to Shock Talk with Sean and Maddie. I know I've plugged it a few times, but if it's on your feed here pretty soon, give it a try, because we're going to. Sounds good. And, this movie is a trip, and we thank Jen for editing. We thank Sean for Sean Facts. Thank you to our fellow podcasts who review us and recommend us. They'll be in the bumper.
Yeah.
But we really, truly appreciate all of you, and we hope that you've enjoyed this funky trip over the rainbow with us.
Yeah.
Until next month, I am Jen McQuaid.
I'm Naomi McQuaid.
And I'm Lydia Malcolm.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thanks for enjoying.
Congratulations on your journey through all three parts of our review of 1985's Return to Oz, Applauder. We hope you've enjoyed our conversational side quests through one of Disney's freakiest films from our childhood. In search of more strange and scary podcast episodes? Wait, What Podcast discusses unsolved mysteries, weird history, and strange new stories, and this past week has talked about creepy serial killer facts, UFOs, and more. And Reverie True Crime Podcast recently released an episode about the Smurl family, the real-life source material for the movie The Haunted. Hey, this is your audio engineer and cowardly co-host, and I'm not lying, Jen. In this season of scares, wouldn't it be great to know that you're surrounded by like-minded movie lovers who defend your decision to dress as that obscure character from a film no one has heard of? Well, we feel that same love when you decide to review us on Apple Podcasts. Simply scroll to the bottom of the episode list and tap the Write a Review link to leave your thoughts with us. If you're not an Apple Podcast listener, you can also review us on podchaser.com. We've got a new monthly segment coming next week called Shocked Talk, brought to you by Sean Hall, who does our fact-checking and artwork, along with our good friend Madeline. We're really excited to bring this new series to you, and you'll find it in our feed this upcoming Tuesday. We'll be back November 3rd with a brand new review, and it's definitely one you won't want to miss. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
I like how TikTok always has the trumpet music whenever he's walking.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah.